Proverbs chapter 8. It's an epic chapter, I think. Epic. Up until chapter 8, we've heard about wisdom. God has been, through Solomon, God's been calling us to seek wisdom, to find wisdom, to look for wisdom, to value wisdom. Something happened in chapter 7 that was really interesting in comparison to chapter 8, because in chapter 7, he gives us a picture of folly, a picture of what folly looks like, and he personifies foolishness or simplicity or folly in the adulterous woman. And there's nothing that the adulterous woman has to give. She only takes. She will steal your life away. And now in chapter 8, there's something different here, because now all of a sudden, wisdom is personified. Now we see wisdom herself is talking. Wisdom is telling what she has to offer, everything that she has. In fact, chapter 8 is so powerful because wisdom has a voice in chapter 8. Wisdom, you can hear wisdom speak. Wisdom is getting very personal. Wisdom is proclaiming all authority. Not saying, I have power, I have powers, I have benefit to you, but I have, we see in chapter 8, there is a sense that this all authority of wisdom promises blessing, promises a renewal of mind and renewal of heart. This wisdom has all power. This wisdom personified has power to judge and power to deny life itself, power to take it away. Wisdom in chapter 8 has all value. It's not, wisdom doesn't say, I will give you valuable things. It says it like that, but the value is wisdom itself. All value is found in this wisdom personified, the value of and all worth. Wisdom is eternal, personified. Wisdom speaks of eternity. Wisdom is was brought forth. How could wisdom, a thing, a thought, an abstract idea be brought forth, except wisdom is personified here in chapter 8, and wisdom is brought forth or begotten of the Lord. Wisdom is the divine perfection of God revealed in chapter 8, made manifest in creation. See the acts of wisdom by what you see around you in creation. In other words, wisdom carried out the decree of God, the plan and purpose of God, to perfection. Wisdom is intelligent. Wisdom finds pleasure in God. Wisdom is personified here in chapter 8, and there's so much more. And I think chapter 8 is pivotal. It's epic, because here we will begin, in this chapter, unifying our theology of redemption and lordship and Christ as Savior right out of chapter 8. I think the Bible is a story, a history of God's redemption, and chapter 8 in Proverbs plays a pivotal role in that. So let's read chapter 8. First, let's pray, then read chapter 8. Father in heaven, give us wisdom, insight. We want understanding. Give us grace. Show us what we're asking when we pray such prayers as we study chapter 8 today. Let us see Christ clearly. And let us magnify your name by beholding the radiance of your glory in the face of your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights along the way where paths meet, she takes her stand beside the gates leading into the city. At the entrances, she cries aloud, "To you, O men, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. You who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, gain understanding. Listen, for I have worthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true, for my lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just. None of them is crooked or perverse, unlike the adulterous woman in chapter 7. To the discerning, all of them are right. They are faultless to those who have knowledge. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. Counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have understanding and power. By me kings reign and rulers make laws that are just. By me princes govern and all nobles who rule the earth. And those who I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. With me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. My fruit is better than fine gold, yet what I yield surpasses choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, along the paths of justice, bestowing wealth on those who love me and making their treasuries full. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works, before his deeds of old. I was appointed from eternity, from the beginning, before the world began. When there were no oceans, I was given birth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the earth or its fields or any of the dust of the world, I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the foundations of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundary so the waters would not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was the craftsman at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world, and delighting in mankind. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not ignore it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. But whoever fails to find me harms himself. All who hate me love death. This chapter is epic. I don't even know where to begin. It's one of those terrible chapters because it's so full, but it's great because we see so clearly God is making a revelation, giving us a revelation here in Proverbs chapter 8. And we have to look, when we study Proverbs chapter 8, or any chapter of the Bible for that matter, we have to take it in context of the whole. We have the revelation of Jesus Christ. We have seen him by faith. God has made the mystery of his will known in the person of Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us much that Christ is the wisdom of God. We'll look at some of those scriptures here later on. But I think when we see wisdom personified here, we're beginning to see that the treasure of heaven is Christ itself, is Christ himself. The voice that we hear in Proverbs chapter 8 is the voice of divine revelation, the word of God, to speak plainly. There's no dark alleys with wisdom. There's no dark alleys in this revelation. There's no hidden corners, unlike chapter 7, which found the adulterous woman hiding out in the alleyways, slinking around in the dark, full of shenanigans for those who would take and stop and talk with her. But chapter 8, Proverbs 8, with wisdom personified, a person, a revelation, in the light, in the open, a voice calling out for all to hear. This can be none other than the Son of God. Wisdom cries out in a voice that can be heard. Now, wisdom's voice is oftentimes visual. Psalm chapter 19, verse 1, I think it's one of the coolest verses when it comes to the preaching, God preaching through his creation. A voice to be heard. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. Creation preaches a message. The creation is animated and was animated by the one who created it. It is the Creator who is speaking in creation. Behold the glory of God. Creation shouts out. Wisdom shouts out and with many voices. Primarily, we see Scripture being the voice that God uses to cry out to mankind. Wisdom speaks through the Scriptures. The Son of God speaking, the Word of God, I should say, speaking through the Scriptures. We have Moses, the Ten Commandments. We have the law of God given. God calling to a people that He had chosen for Himself out of all the depraved people of the world. He called out a people to Himself who were no less depraved, but they were His chosen people that He set apart for Himself. And He gave revelation, specific revelation through the Word. Moses going up on the mountain, coming down with the commandments of the Lord. Later, when you have on two mountain peaks, when half the Israelites were on one side and half on the other, and you had the Levites reading the Word of God, the blessings on one mountain, shouting them out, and on the other mountain, proclaiming the curses against all who would reject the Word of God, you had proclamation. The Word of God going forth, wisdom raising her voice. You have the prophets, wisdom speaking forth the Word of God, carrying forth the revelation of God through Word to His people. And probably for us, the greatest revelation of the Word of God is in the person of Jesus Christ, who is Himself the Word of God. And one thing that is just beautiful to think of, He walked up on a mountainside and began to preach, expounding on the law of God and demonstrating the love of God. Wisdom has a voice, and wisdom calls out. And wisdom we see revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. We see the Word revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. Wisdom calls out from all places. And it's a beautiful thing to think that whereas the adulterous woman would be hiding, wisdom comes out to the street corner, calling out to all. And what was Jesus' command to us? To go where? Into all the world. In the light. There's nothing hidden that won't be revealed. Wisdom calls out to the simple. What's the gospel do? The gospel call is a call to the simple. And who calls the heart? Man speaks to the voice, to the ear, but the Word of God speaks to the heart. Here wisdom is calling out to the heart of people, whoever they would be. Wisdom speaks the truth. Everything wisdom speaks, everything the Word declares is true. What you see is what you get. Look at verse 8. All the words of my mouth are just, and none of them is crooked or perverse. Unlike folly that you see, the trickery of folly throughout the Proverbs. You see the deception of the adulterous woman. But here wisdom is very clear. There is nothing false in my words. There's nothing hidden. You will never, ever, ever be able to say against God, you deceived me. You didn't tell me the whole story. You wouldn't anyway if you know Him, because you know that He's told you the whole truth, the truth about yourself, the truth about humanity, the truth about God, that He is holy. And the truth about Jesus Christ, that He is the Word become flesh. Never will you ever, ever be able to ever find one shadow of turning in God. You will never be disappointed with Him or His revelation of Himself in the person of Jesus Christ. And wisdom says this is true. And who is wisdom speaking forth this but the Word of God? Wisdom has a voice, and wisdom is calling. And verses 12 through 21, we begin to see wisdom beginning to take shape. And you can see a person becoming more clear. Wisdom has all authority. It's just not an idea. But wisdom has authority, given, granted authority. What does the Bible teach about wisdom? Who is wisdom. What is wisdom? In chapters 1 through 7, we see wisdom principally is things that are being taught by the Father. But here we have wisdom that is taking on a different shape, manifesting in a person with authority, rulership, I, the word pronoun I being used. Wisdom is described in the New Testament and made known to us that wisdom is a person. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse, or chapter 1, verse 30, it's because of Him, Paul writes, that you are in Christ Jesus. It's because of God. It's because of His will, the will of God, that you are in Christ Jesus, Christ who has become for us the wisdom, for us wisdom from God. Not just some wisdom, but the wisdom of God. And he goes on to say, this wisdom, He is wisdom from God. That is our righteousness and holiness and our redemption. In 1 Corinthians also, chapter 1, I think it's verse 24, Paul writes to these people, and you can begin seeing the crossover between Proverbs chapter 8 and 1 Corinthians chapter 1 as he's revealing who is this wisdom that we read about in the Old Testament. Chapter 1, verse 24, he says, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. And wisdom is revealing itself as all-powerful. Soon we'll see later in chapter 8 of the power to create. Here we have the power to rule, the power to sovereignly control all things and to rule over kings and kingdoms. But this is this wisdom that we would just say this is a person here in chapter 8. We learn through studying our Bibles that this is Christ Himself. And you can see Him saying, I have by me kings reign. Jesus raises up and He brings down. It's the Lord Himself. Now, here in Proverbs chapter 8, we couldn't say the revelation at the time would have been, oh, this is Jesus Christ. We only look back and we say, this is the Son of God. Because we have further revelation from the Scripture. But those who would have been reading Proverbs 8 at this time wouldn't know who is necessarily being spoken of. But we do from the greater text that we have from God's Word being revealed. Wisdom is credited with having authority to give a person a good mind in verse 12. Look what he says. I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. Do you need a good mind? There's only one source to have a good mind, and that is through Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ would heal demoniacs, what would it oftentimes, I know one place in particular, described the person after they were set free from the demon, and he was put in his right mind. Every one of us, before we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we're out of our minds. We're not in our right mind. We're in rebellion against God. That's folly. That's foolishness. We're taking the way of sin, choosing to die rather than to live. But when God has His way and He brings us from death to life according to His grace through faith, then all of a sudden we start thinking right, giving praise to God and glory to God. That's Proverbs chapter 8, verse 12. I possess knowledge and discretion. It's His to give. He gives the mind to men and to women and children, minds that once were dead, but He brings them alive. It's Christ who teaches us fear of the Lord. We are told in Scripture, fear of the Lord's the beginning of knowledge. Fear of the Lord's the beginning of wisdom. But where does this fear of the Lord come from? It is a gift from God. By nature, we have no fear of God. As a group of human beings, we have no fear of the Lord, the Bible tells us. But Christ comes to us. We hear the message. We hear the wisdom of God. We hear the voice, the Word, and He nestles into our heart through the Holy Spirit. It's Christ and through His Word that teaches us to hate sin. And Proverbs chapter 8 just makes this so clear. It's in keeping with who He is. He says, I walk in the way of righteousness along the paths of justice. He provides reward, verse 18 tells us. He says, with me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. This is none other than Christ himself. It's not simply an abstract idea of wisdom, but a person owns it all, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you seek him, verse 17 says, those who seek me, find me. If you seek him, you will find him. That's the plea. Wisdom is crying out. This wisdom personified is crying out. What did Christ do in his ministry? He called out to people. And what was it summarized in Matthew chapter 11? Come. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. He plucks on the string of the heart by those words. And the right response is to come to him. Not just embrace the words as a nice sentiment. Isn't it nice that I have somewhere to go in case I ever need him? But it is for the soul that is in an awareness of the reality of their brokenness. And they come. And the promise here in Proverbs 8, but fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ, is those who seek me, find me. Those who come will not be turned away. Find Christ. Find him. Hold him. And delight in the grace of God. There is no other hope. The grace of God to be enjoyed even now, and the glory of God to be enjoyed later. And that's the promise here in chapter 8. It's a now and forevermore type of promise. Wisdom in Proverbs chapter 8 is crying out the very things we hear Christ speak when he came to this earth, when he was incarnate. Wisdom spoke with a voice in Proverbs 8. Wisdom speaks with a voice in the person of Jesus Christ even now. Now, verses 22 through 31 is where this proverb becomes so meaningful and so clear in my mind that we can see Christ is the one who's described in chapter 8. Wisdom was brought forth from the Lord. Of course, God is all wise. He knows everything. He didn't acquire wisdom. So this is be odd if it's just saying somehow he acquired, he brought forth something from himself. This is, he brought forth wisdom. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works. Wisdom, as we know from the other testimony of Scripture, Jesus is the wisdom of God. So this tells us something about Christ before he became a man. The Son of God, the eternal Son of God, is being revealed here to us in Proverbs chapter 8. We know this from the further light that we have of the Scriptures as we've been given. He has a personality, and he has a distinct existence. The Lord brought me forth. Me, forth. He's a person, his own person, but yet perfectly in unity with the Father. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works, before his deeds of old. Not born in the sense of this has troubled people in the New Testament, where it speaks of Christ being the firstborn. It means he's first rank. The Scripture is explicit when it speaks about Christ being eternally begotten of the Father. How does that work? I don't know, but it's saying he is God. He is 100% God. He is equal to God in every way. He's not a lesser God. He's one in essence. And so he's brought forth. This person is brought forth, personified as wisdom here, but brought forth of the Lord. He's appointed from all eternity. Verse 23, verses 24 through 26 says he was given birth, or that is, he was begotten. It says it over and again in verse 30. My favorite verse in this, the one that stuck with me all week long, is by, he said, I was by his side. I was a craftsman at his side. Look at the next line. I was filled with delight day after day. There's a perfect unity between Father and Son. Jesus, in his ministry, said numerous times, I do only what I see my Father doing. I came to do my Father's will. This is the craftsman at his side, delighting in everything the Father thought, everything the Father purposed. I came to do his will, the will of him who sent me. This wisdom here in chapter 8 is the eternal Son of God, the very Word of God. John chapter 1 may be the best companion text for Proverbs chapter 8. Go to John chapter 1. It's worth taking a moment to read it. John 1, 1 through 4. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos. Wisdom. Fullness of the mind of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, that is, through the Word, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And in chapter 8, you see this unfold so clearly. We come to chapter 8, verse 30. I was a craftsman at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world, verse 31, and delighting in mankind. In him was the light of men. The wisdom, the Word of God is Jesus, the eternal Son of God. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Definitely worth looking at. Let these sink in. Chapter 1, verse 3. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful Word. Wisdom revealed through divine works of creation and through the Word of God, the words of God, the Scriptures as we see them. The Word was eternal before the world began, before the oceans were formed, before the boundaries were set, before the mountains were put in place, before the hills, before the dust of the earth. This Word, this wisdom as spoken of in chapter 8, is the eternal Word of God, who is Jesus, the Son. Look at John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. John chapter 1, later in John chapter 1, he says, He came from the Father full of grace and truth. Wisdom here in chapter 8 is declaring as the truth. Jesus is the truth. He said, I am the way. Wisdom promises to be the way. Wisdom promises to be the life. Jesus said, I am the life. Wisdom here in chapter 8 promises to be truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. When we look at chapter 8, we're looking in the face of Jesus Christ, in the heart of God revealed in the person of the eternal Son of God. Maybe the better way to put it. In verses 27 through 30, we see the eternal wisdom. The Son of God was present, carrying out the works of God. This is where we begin seeing the example of the Word at work. He was present, carrying out the works of God. Look what it says in 27. I was there when He set the heavens in place, when He marked out the horizon, the face of the deep, when He established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when He gave the sea its boundary, so the waters would not overstep His command, and when He marked out the foundations of the earth. I was a craftsman at His side, but it just says here, He created, God created, but He said, I was there. How was He there? Genesis chapter 1, for instance, when God says, let there be light, or be light, light was. Jesus is the light of the world. He is the Word of God. When God spoke forth in power, the Word went out and light was. In Proverbs chapter 8, it is the pre-incarnate Christ revealing to us here that I was there. I was the craftsman. When God created, it was through Christ, through this eternal Word that created. The power of the Word of God to create, it is the same power which raised Jesus from the dead. It's the same power which lives in each and every one of us. It's that power that spoke your soul, gave you a new heart, is the best way to put it. Be light in your heart, in your mind, making you a new creature in Christ. It was that Word, the same Word of creation, spoke creation into you. There's so many verses. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9 is a good one. Chapter 3, verse 9, it says, I'll start at verse 8, although I am less than the least of God's people, the grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, which is the wisdom in chapter 8 is personified as having unsearchable riches. Verse 9, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages was kept hidden in God, who created all things. And we know that this, his intent was through the church and manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities. The manifold wisdom of God spoken of in Proverbs 8, revealing and giving power to the rulers of the nations. We see a connection between the Old and the New Testament. Go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. This is powerful. Listen to the power of the Word of God. I'll start at verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn, first rank from among the dead, so that in everything He might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things in heaven or on earth, things on earth or things in heaven. And this personification of wisdom in chapter 8 is a declaration of who is the work of the eternal Son of God before the foundation of the world. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2 would be the last one we look at. It's so important to see it. Our theology is unified as we look at the whole of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, I'll read one also. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times in various ways. Remember in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 2, on the heights along the way, wisdom calls out on the heights along the way. Moses, the prophets, oftentimes gathered the people at a mountain, oddly enough. God spoke to our fathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. Verse 2, but in these last days He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe. Proverbs chapter 8 is revealing Christ to us, our Lord, and His eternal existence. Because don't you wonder, what was He doing before He became man? And we get a picture of what His eternality is like, in perfect unity with the Father. And He brings us in perfect unity with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as He saves us. And He was creating, and He was caring. He was the Word of God, the power of God for the creation. As God willed it, it was done. It's such an absolute beautiful truth. He did only what He saw the Father doing, what was on the heart I'll never forget years ago. It never came to pass, but a man came to our church when we were at the Ramada Inn. I believe he was sincere. But he was so encouraged by our church. This probably won't encourage you like it did me, because there was something powerful about what he said. He said, I said, if it's God's leading, I would like to make a large donation to your church, my father and I. He said, I have my father's heart, and it's something that I would like to do. It never did come to pass, but I thought, here was a man who I believe was stating the truth, but he couldn't come through. But when Jesus says, I and the Father are one, and he's saying, I have my Father's heart because he is the expression of the heart of God, you can trust your life to him. Proverbs chapter 8 finishes by saying, those who find him, they find life. At the very end, blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. You'll never know him as you ought if you don't sit at his door. You've got to seek him. If you think your life is lackluster and you're lacking spiritual vitality, there's only one reason for it. You have not waited at his doorway. You've not valued him as you ought to. My call would be in keeping with wisdom's call in chapter 8. Seek him, and you will find him. Even if you say, but I'm already a Christian. Is your brain muddied up with the garbage of the world, and you're confused, and you're full of anxiety, you're afraid to stick your nose out the door sometime? You got to know him. The alternative for humanity is this: whoever fails to find me harms himself. It is the epitome of self-injury to reject Jesus Christ. And who hates all who hate me, love death. But Christ brings a culture of life. Trust in him today. Trust in the one who gives life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this powerful word. We thank you for the Bible, the revelation of yourself. Thank you that we have the revelation of Jesus Christ, that we can see clearly that this wisdom personified in chapter 8 is your Son before he became flesh, your eternal Son. Cause us to seek him. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.